Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Hello, everyone. This is Roberta Grimes, of course, and this is Seek Reality, and I'm thrilled that you're with us today. Last week, we discussed with Virginia Hummel the fascinating topic of children reincarnating within the same family. And this week, we're going to consider a different type of child reincarnation that has an utterly different provenance, and it may perhaps be remarkably common. This is the sort of child reincarnation that Dr. Ian Stevenson wrote about. Now, as you know, we write planned exit points into our lives, and sometimes people who suffer an unplanned death, usually it's a violent death, will not transition normally. Instead, apparently, they hang around here after their bodies have died, and they choose a mother and reincarnate without ever spending recuperative time in the afterlife. I want to stress the fact that this is not the normal route of reincarnation, but it does occur. And while the reported cases come from countries that recognize reincarnation by and large, there's no reason to believe the instance of this kind of reincarnation without having fully transitioned is limited just to people who happen to die in those particular countries. Rather, I think it's likely that this sort of thing happens everywhere. In Western countries, parents frown upon small children who mention pre-birth memories, and very soon those memories are gone. Erlander Haroldson is a revered co-author of the wonderful book, I love this book, At the Hour of Death, in which he and Carlos Osa studied thousands of people approaching death in India and in the United States, and they did a stunning study of deathbed visions that still is a definitive work in this area. In fact, it's what, 30 or 40 years? It's been a long time. But now he's back and with a wonderful book on an entirely different topic. He wrote about past life memories of children called I Saw the Light and Came Here. This is in the Ian Stevenson mold, and I think you'll find his book fascinating. Welcome to Seek Reality for the second time, Erlander. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thank you, Roberta. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
This is a book which I frankly was astonished to find this is an area of interest of yours, but it's been going back. It's been an interest for a very long time. Tell us how you met Ian Stevenson. You were going to the University of Virginia at the time, right?
Yes. I was at the University of Virginia around 1971, 1972. And there I came to know Dr. Stevenson, and we became close friends, and very soon we were involved in studies, like one study of an Icelandic medium, and then much later, in the late 80s, he asked me if I would be interested in studying some cases of children who claimed to remember a past life. And I certainly was interested. And then we picked a country because it's better to do a study if you're going to study many cases in one country than spread them into many. And so we decided on Sri Lanka, where I had once been before. And the only condition I really made was that I could study many enough cases to make a psychological study of these children, namely to find out if children who claim to remember a past life differ in any significant way from other so-called normal children. And he agreed to that. So in the end, I first studied some 30 cases in Sri Lanka, but in the end, they became over 60. And then I later added another country where I also studied cases, and that was in Lebanon, which is very different from Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, of course, is an Asian country. It is a Buddhist country, whereas Lebanon is a Well, it's a Mediterranean country, and the predominant religion is Islam. But the cases I found are among Druze that have a religion that is related to Islam.
But do the Druze agree, believe in reincarnation, right?
Yes, the Druze, they believe in reincarnation. And that is something that most members of the Islamic religion do not do, but some of them do it.
Well, we're going to need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to learn a lot more about this fascinating area. I mean, reincarnation is something that Christians don't believe in. But to be perfectly frank, Christians have no idea what they're talking about. This is a whole new world of interest. And I think you're going to find it as fascinating as I do. What we're talking about a specific kind of reincarnation that generally involves a traumatic death, probably an unplanned death, and the child reincarnates, or often it's an older person who dies, reincarnates as a child, often nearby and often soon, but I don't think any of that is certain. Tell us a little more about this whole process, Doctor. What do you make of all the cases you've studied?
Shall I repeat the last question?
What do you make of all these cases? What do you learn from them? What is this phenomenon that we're talking about?
Well, I think both I and previously Stevenson, we had investigated a number of cases. So I believe that there is quite some evidence that the reincarnation takes place. But the children who claim these memories, they usually claim a memory of dying, suffering a violent death, that they died prematurely, as you said, that they died mostly in accident, perhaps in murder, and so on. And they will also often give specific details about their life, and what their work was, what people were around them, what they were doing, and so on. First, of course, when we investigate these cases, we interview the child and the mother and the father separately. Also, often the brothers and sisters of the child, to be certain about what the child has really been talking about, not that it has been saying making two or three statements once or twice, but the child has to have repeatedly told about the past life.
And these are tiny. These are little children, right? They're 2, 3, 4 years old at most.
Yes, they usually start to talk about the past life around the time when they can really speak. And that is on the average 2.5, somewhere between 2 and 2.5 years.
Which okay.
Is an interesting thing in itself.
So when the child comes into this life fresh from the prior life and talking about the prior life, details, often quite specific details, that the child clearly believes what he or she is saying, and often there's no reason why they would know the stuff they seem to know about a past life, right?
Yes, and when we learn about a case, we first get all the facts about it, about what the child has been saying, and then we try to verify the case, or if there have been attempts to verify the case, we go through the process very meticulously again. And in quite some number of these cases, their statements can't be verified. For example, if I tell you about a case, it was a girl, Tushita Silva. She lived in a small town in Sri Lanka, but she claimed to have lived previously in another town, Akuresa, and that she had been walking over a footbridge, over a river. She had fallen into the river. She had been 5 months pregnant and she had drowned, and her husband had also tried to save her, threw himself into the river, but also drowned. And she also made the statement that she had previously lived in a large house. She lived in a clay house. She was in a very poor family. And we went to Aquaresa, and we were able to find a place where there was a footbridge. And then we asked around if anyone had drowned from a footbridge, or fallen off the footbridge. Yes, we were told on the other side of the river, there was a family rather close to the river, and they had a daughter-in-law who had fallen into the river and drowned.
Wow.
That's
pretty exciting.
And then we went to the coroner who investigated the cause after the drowning, and we found in his record that this woman had indeed been pregnant.
What's interesting to me is that when you put together all the claims the children make, there are some cases where you actually can find the previous person, and it's pretty certain that it was, because most of the statements match up, and those that don't, it's just you can't confirm it, but they don't rule out that this is the previous personality. Don't you find that fascinating, that some of these are real, that you could prove they're real?
Yes, it is very interesting. Of course, I have by now studied so many of them. I studied over 60 in Sri Lanka, and over 30 in Lebanon, and I knew about Stevenson studies, so I am familiar with this material.
Yes.
It is indeed a very remarkable thing, and I just wish that more people knew about it.
Yes, yes.
If they would read my book, I Saw a Light and Came Here, they would come to know a lot more about these studies on children who claim to remember a previous life.
What I love about your book is you have all of these different cases that you've investigated, and carefully you've documented what the children said, and then you've tried to determine who a past life would be and then how many of these things match up. So basically you've tried to solve each of these cases. I think that every one of them probably will turn out to have been, if you were able to solve them all, they would all turn out to have been legitimate. I don't think the children are making these stories up. They seem too determined and personally invested in the notion that they had been these people. Don't you feel that way?
Well, it's not my experience that they are making up these cases, but we should though also remember that a large number of these cases, we do not succeed in solving
yes.
them. We do not succeed in verifying what the children have been saying. And then we might also add that there have been also cases in the United States and in Europe. So these cases have not only been found in Asian countries.
Yes, but it seems to be the case that many people who don't believe in reincarnation, especially Christians who would be really turned off by all of this, probably just tell their children, no, you don't remember that. And usually these memories fade, right, as people get into this lifetime. About what age do they typically fade?
Well, they remember particularly from the young age of like 2 or something. But then by the age they go to school, they tend to, many of them forget these memories or whatever it is. But some of them continue remembering it in their adult life.
Extraordinary. One of the things that I find fascinating is that when people are die violently, especially if they're attacked by someone else or they have a, an auto accident or something, their body, when they're born, will often bear scars from that previous death. Talk about that.
Well, that is one of the characteristics of some of the cases, that they have so-called birthmarks. And these birthmarks, they often relate, are like remains or a reappearance of some wounds they suffered when they died. Because as we mentioned earlier, a large percentage of these children with past life memories, they suffered a violent death. They died in accidents very frequently and so on.
Yes.
And I can tell you about one case of Purnima Ekanayaka in Sri Lanka. She claimed that she had been an incense maker, but and then she didn't know where she had lived. But then she one night saw on television a documentary of the Kelaniya temple, and then she told her parents, I lived on the other side of the river that passes the Kelaniya temple. So then soon a man went there and across the river, and he asked if there were any incense makers there in the area. Yes, there were. And he met one of them. And but Punim had said they were making they may make a specific kinds of incense, and she gave two names for them. And these people, they were that were found across the river, they were indeed making incense of the kind that she had been talking about.
She talked about even their brand names, right? Or I remember she had some specific names of the incense that turned out to be right. Little child did. Yeah, isn't that amazing? I was amazed by that.
Yes, that was a very interesting case. One of the most convincing cases that I met with.
Absolutely.
This girl, she had been an incense maker, and one day she was taking incense to the market on a bicycle. But on the way to the market, a bus came and ran over her, and she died in the accident. And we still have the autopsy from her, from the coroner who examined her body. But when she was born, she had a cluster of scars on the left side of her chest. And on the autopsy that was made, you see that this was just the place where the wheel of the bus went over her body, broke the ribs that penetrated the intestines, and she died.
Yeah, that is fascinating. You have a picture in there too of these whitish marks.
Yes, you have a picture of that in my book.
And I remember Dr. Stevenson had a picture of someone with all these buckshot marks on their chest that were there after the previous personality had been shot in the chest. Yeah. Fascinating. Talk a little bit more about, I mean, this is an awkward thing to have happen in the family, to have the first words out of a little child's mouth, you're not my real mommy, I want to go home to my real mommy. That must be a real ego deflator for those mothers.
Yes. Well, we found some cases like in Sri Lanka, where the child would say, I want to go see my previous family, and they would tell the place, the village, where to go. And they went to that village, and they were able to trace that family who had lived the life that the child had been talking about. So there were many, many remarkable cases.
Yes.
Also these birthmark cases that you mentioned earlier with scars from wounds that correspond with wounds in the previous life. And Stevenson, he wrote a very extensive, two volumes about it, giving very vivid details about many of these cases. And of course, in my book, I also describe a few of them and give all the details that I was able to give. And then perhaps one thing we should mention, that my book, I Saw Light and Came Here, there are two authors of it. It is myself, who had studied the cases in the field. Then it was an old friend of mine and colleague, James Matlock, who is very well versed in the literature, much better than I am. He had read about all the different cases from Stevenson and others, and he wrote the second part of the book. And so it is a very extensive book on this topic. And yeah.
So, I think that we have to say this is probably a lot more common than people realize. I know that Dr. Stevenson found like thousands. Didn't he find thousands of cases like this as he did this work?
Well, I think I don't know how many cases Stevenson found, but he found a lot of them. I think there are. I think at the University of Virginia, when he was placed, I think they have on record over 1,000 cases.
Yes,
And it's now a successor there to Dr. Stevenson, and that is Dr. Jim Tucker, who is a child psychiatrist. And he has continued to study the cases, but with emphasis on American cases and European cases, which Stevenson rather sort of neglected, maybe because
yes.
he, yeah, okay. But, and Tucker has found quite a few impressive American cases because he has given many interviews to the press in the United States, and then people have come forward and told them about children who they knew, who have spoken about the past life.
Isn't that amazing? This is so extraordinary. It doesn't seem to be a harmful thing for that new child's life. I mean, they seem to go on, don't they, and have a reasonable life. In fact, your studies indicate they tend to be brighter. They're a little more high-strung, perhaps, but brighter.
I made a psychological study of these children, and they maybe are a bit high-strung, as you said, but they did very well in school. They had a greater vocabulary at an early age than other children, and so it seems to have been an asset to them to have some memories of a past life.
Yeah, surprising. Did you ever find a case of xenoglossy? Did you ever find a case of xenoglossy, a child who could speak a language that was not this lifetime's language?
No, I didn't find any of that kind. I remember there was a case in Sri Lanka where the child would use words that were not common in her area, but were commonly used in the area that
yes.
was far away, where she
yes.
claimed to have lived. Just some common slave, like father and grandfather and so on. Yes, but I didn't find really cases of xenoglossy. No, I can't say that.
I should just say parenthetically to people listening that Dr. Stevenson did find some cases like that, where people had unlearned languages that a child would be able to speak, which is to me, lends additional credibility to these cases. This is a phenomenon that actually does happen. Even a few cases like this would indicate it does happen, but there are many cases. And these are only the ones the experts have found. So it's very, very, very fascinating.
But I have found another case of synoglossia. There was a medium I studied here in Iceland some 40 years ago or more. And it happened once with him that one of the communicators to one of the sitters, he spoke in a language the medium didn't know about at all. And the case was this. There was a man who was a professor at the American University in Washington, but he was a Dane. He was brought up in Greenland, where his father was a clergyman. And there he learned, of course, Greenlandish, just by playing with the children, the Greenlandic children. And then he once happened to fly over Iceland and made a stop to see a friend of his. And then he got into this sitting with this Icelandic medium, Hafsten Björnsson. And during that sitting, that seance, there came to him a person who spoke in the Greenland language, and they conversed quite a bit. And
wow.
Yes, very, very extraordinary. And I have recently written that up, and it will be appearing in a journal in Britain on the Society for Psychical Research.
Fascinating. This is an area where I think the knowledge is going to become much more commonly known. Part of the fun of doing this research, I find, is that there are so many of these kind of sub areas which are so rich in information and evidence that most people have no idea about. It's amazing to me.
There are these sort of borderline areas of various kinds. When we find phenomena that are generally ignored but are really essentially very interesting.
Yes.
The little attention is paid to them also because they're also quite rare. For example, the case of children who remember a past life, they are not common, they are very rare. Like in Sri Lanka, which has a population of 18 million people, we were perhaps able to find on the average 5 cases per year. But of course, we had no way to know that we were searching in the country. But anyway, and now, of course, in America, you occasionally find children. There was one famous pilot case, the Leininger case, but these cases are always rare. We shouldn't forget that.
Yes. Yeah, there was a case of a military pilot or something that his plane crashed or he was shot down, and a child had memories of that. Some of these children seem to between lives have gone great distances. You had one case where someone had been living, I think it was in Lebanon and in America, and then died in America, but reincarnated in Lebanon. I think those were the two countries. That's unusual, isn't it?
Yes, that is rather unusual. Usually, the children they talk about alive in their vicinity, in their country, and close to the time they live themselves. It maybe goes back a few years, but rarely a large number of years. Mostly it is just from a year or two or three. And so it's close in time and close in space, these cases.
Wasn't one of them a week or something? And there was a 7, maybe 9 days, something like that, and the reincarnation happened?
Yes, I think there is one such case, yes.
That's kind of amazing.
Yes.
wasn't going to let any grass grow under his feet before he got back in a body, that's for sure. That's fascinating. Yeah. What strikes you about these cases as a group? What most amazes you about them?
What is most amazing for me about these cases?
Yes.
Well, the most amazing thing is that they exist.
That's true. Right. That they exist at all.
But, that is contrary to the commonly accepted view about reality and consciousness and so on, because we are generally considered to be only physical beings, and that consciousness is created by the brain and in the brain.
Which is
so not. The brain is destroyed. There's nothing more. And there would be no way for a memory that existed at one time, one brain, to be transmitted to a new developing brain.
That is such an excellent point. These cases are yet more refutation of the nonsensical belief among mainstream scientists that consciousness is generated in the brain. There's no evidence that that's true other than their materialist dogma, which is actually bogus. It only dates back 100 years. Even Dr. Max Planck said that was not true, that consciousness pre-exists matter. So you're absolutely right. That's it. Just even one of these cases refutes the scientists, and it's frustrating that they just don't seem to get it.
I think that the most scientists who are like psychologists, they ignore these cases.
They ignore a lot of things. Erlander, so someone's child is starting to say, "You're not my mommy, I have another mommy," or something. What should a parent say to that child? What should a parent do? How do we help that child?
Well, I think we should just listen to them carefully, let them speak, but not try to persuade them into any specific direction. Just listen. And let them talk and see what comes out of it. And if they are pressing to go to some particular place, then ask them, do you know how to get there? And so on. So just take it easy and see what comes out of it. I don't think, and yes, then there is another thing. It's very important to take some notes. When they start to talk about this, make a note of what they say, so they have these notes later if they want to examine the case more thoroughly.
Should they try to contact the University of Virginia?
And then I think they should try to contact Dr. Jim Tucker at the University of Virginia. He is the right person to approach. I am now in Iceland and far away. He would be a very good person, really the very best person to approach.
Dr. Jim Tucker, he has taken over the work of Dr. Ian Stevenson, who made his transition earlier in this early part of this century. If you're in another country, Dr. Tucker may in fact be able to help you know who in your country might be able to work with your child. But it's good to investigate all of this. You want to give the child closure if possible. It's fine if they meet this previous family. Don't you think so? I mean, this enriches everyone's life to find out, to meet this family.
I might also mention one Dieter Hassler in Germany, who has taken interest in these cases, some published a book on them. Then there is also one, Titus Rivas in Holland, who has also written a book in touch on cases that he has investigated. So the cases are being investigated not only by Jim Tucker, but also in some other countries.
Very exciting.
And then, of course, I came to know one case here in Iceland and studied that quite a long time ago. It was a boy who was brought up here in Reykjavik with his single mother and grandparents. But then he started to talk about life up in the country. He was always talking about the life up in the country and what was happening there or what had happened there. And then he often mentioned that there had been an accident with a tractor. Someone had died. And then the father of this boy, whom the boy knew very little, but the family came to know or recall that he had was brought up in the country, and it so happened that his brother had died in a tractor accident. And
wow.
So they, and also the little boy made some statements about the farm where he claimed to have lived that fitted pretty well. And then this thing about the fatal tractor accident that made them think seriously that this boy remembered the past life.
That's amazing that they were able to solve that. That's in your book too. I thought that was like a real detective story. One of the things I love about your book is you write very well. It's a very easy book to read. I mean, sometimes when you read scholarly things, they feel dry, but yours doesn't at all. It's quite to the point and lively. So you write well, sir. That helps a lot when you have information to convey.
I was a journalist for many years.
That explains it then. That explains it. Well, I really recommend this book. I saw a light and came here. If you're interested at all in trying to understand a little bit more about how something could go wrong and still turn out right, which is what's happened in these cases. Someone was knocked out of his body. The body died. Yeah. But this person was able to find a different body and go into it and keep some memories from that prior life. I think it's just a fascinating concept.
As you mentioned, there were some children who also remembered something from the time between death and when they were born.
Yes.
Like there was one case of a child that she could follow the funeral and the grief of her parents. But then she followed them, and then suddenly she saw a light, and then she was born with a particular family.
Yes, yeah.
When she saw the light, she emerged into physical life again.
Yeah, there are, in Dr. Stevens's cases as well, there are some reports that children have of what they did in between. They never went back to what we think of as the afterlife, but instead they hung around here. Fascinating.
Yes.
Dr. Haraldson, how would people reach you? And you have a website.
Yes, I have a website. If they just put in my name in Google or something, they will find several things about me, also my website. And in my website, there's a lot of information. It's about my books, about the various papers I have written, about my studies of reincarnation cases, but also about my studies of other sort of phenomena. So I am easy to find. And then, of course, there is now a new source of information, that is the Psi Encyclopedia, because those of us in the field, we have found that Wikipedia, they tend to take a very negative approach to this phenomena. So some British people, they started a special sort of Encyclopedia on Psychic Phenomena.
PSY Encyclopedia.
And, among others, have written quite a few openings or items in that Psi Encyclopedia.
We're going to have that. We're going to be talking about that specifically on Seek Reality in a certain point. Well, it's been thrilling to have you here, and we will have you back. And I hope that that your fall is going well, and I hope you have a lot more interesting things to look at. It's fascinating to be. It's like being in a candy store to have all this to investigate. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Erlich.
Happy to talk to you again, Roberta.
Dr. Erlinder Haraldson, and as you know, this has been Seek Reality. Never forget that you are a powerful eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and when you really understand all the implications of that fact, it transforms your life. Next week, our guests will be Suzanne Wilson and Mark Pitstick. A few months back, someone asked me through my website some questions about mental illness in the afterlife, the purpose of mental illness in people's life plans, just mental illness in general, and I didn't have a clue. But Suzanne Wilson is very knowledgeable in this area, and she considers Mark Pitstick to be very knowledgeable as well. So she suggested the two of them come on and join us together. This is a very important topic. It's very seldom discussed, so I don't think you're going to want to miss this. Join us next week. This week, we've been speaking with Dr. Erlinder Haraldson, who I find just delightful. He's the revered author of the groundbreaking 1977 book with Carlos Osis, At the Hour of Death. Theirs is still the definitive scientific study of deathbed visions. And now Dr. Haraldson has tackled the subject of reincarnation and childhood with another co-author in a terrific new book. It's called I Saw the Light and Came Here. And I really recommend it because it's so easy and enjoyable to read. I mean, getting involved in all these children's lives and how complex. Imagine being a little child and thinking you're in the wrong place because you remember vividly a different family. Amazing. The kind of prompt reincarnation that this book talks about apparently happens all over the world, but tragically, in most Western countries, most parents suppress their small children's talk about having had another life. If you know a little one who seems to have had a previous life, please, please give this little eternal being who's just starting another Earth Plane adventure the courtesy of really listening. You're going to be fascinated by what the child has to say, and you're going to help the child find closure so he or she can better settle into this new life that is just beginning now. And as always, I want you to know I'm grateful for your friendship. Please keep coming back, and if you have anything you want to know or any question or any comment or anything at all, or you just feel like having a chat, don't hesitate to contact me through robertagrimes.com. Just make sure you give me the right address. I answer all my emails. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful eternal being and you are infinitely loved.